Our scripture readings from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Did you know that according to the United States Department of State 2013 Trafficking in Persons Report, more than 27 million men, women, and children are forced to work at any one time? And it's not happening in faraway places. It's happening in your local mall, in a massage parlor, in someone's home. Young women and children are being abducted, drugged, and driven across state lines, forced into prostitution, sold as sex slaves, and forced to work for a place to sleep or food to eat. It's far easier to move a woman or child around than it is to move guns or drugs. And one woman can bring in over $150,000 a year in the sex trade. This has become a big business in the United States and around the world. Human trafficking has been the social action emphasis of Disciples Women's from 2009 to 2014. At the 2010 quadrennial in Greensboro, North Carolina, Pat Carter, Mary Herlacher, and I heard the personal story from a victim from Moldova and how the faith-based North Carolina nonprofit Triad Ladder of Hope was working to eradicate the exploitation, sale, and enslavement of men, women, and children. Hear these words of survivor Lena. "I cannot imagine what I could have done without Triad Ladder of Hope. I was living in fear, very scared, with no money, documents, no family here to help me. I was afraid of him. He hurt my daughter and me. Triad Ladder of Hope helped me move and be safe, giving us everything we needed. Very importantly, they helped me get the legal help that I needed. I now feel safer and have hope for our future." A seed was planted, but I returned to immerse myself in the process of helping to close 2201 First Avenue and moving to Spring House. In December 2012, Pastor Lori began her ministry with us. And James Petermeyer, lived in Garfield at the time and joined us for services. He was studying at William Mitchell Law School and volunteered at a shelter for victims. He researched legal cases involving human trafficking in Minnesota. So in 2013, Lori and I went to the Minneapolis Women's Club to hear him present, and we also heard Christine Stark, writer and artist, a survivor of sexual violence. When registering for the 2014 quadrennial, Lori and I signed up to take the walk against trafficking to raise awareness and to hear about the work of Youth Spark in Atlanta, Georgia. It's an organization serving victims and their commitment to end human trafficking. I know you can't really see this picture, but this is a picture of a woman who has a tattoo on her neck. And it says, sex trafficking survivor Nicole was branded with a horseshoe-shaped tattoo to show that she belonged to her trafficker. With the help of Ink 180, she plans to have the tattoo covered up. Ink 180 started in Oswego, Illinois, and it provides free tattoo cover-ups and removals to end that constant visual reminder of a trafficker's survivor's experience. This fall, I was asked to prepare the second lesson from Just Women, our Disciples study magazine. One further action suggested that we plan a Speak Out Sunday to educate the congregation on behalf of victims of sexual and gender-based violence. Lori found the date, and we invited James to share his expertise. You just never know when that seed will sprout. After Christmas, I decided to save all the newspaper articles related to trafficking, and you'll find a poster board on the back page. Imagine my surprise when the Pioneer Press ran a series about the trafficking problem North Dakota is experiencing with the oil fields. In Saturday's edition, it focused on how the website is both a friend and foe. Pimps find their sex trafficking business online and then get busted there too, making it easier for the law enforcement to track them. But why is this our business? We have a whole culture now that has become, according to Senator from North Dakota, desensitized to the innocence of children, number one, and desensitized to how horrific something like this is. In fact, it's the kind of attitude of willing buyer, willing seller. Why is it our business? What I would tell them, Senator Henthkamp says, is probably some of the most horrific victimizations in this country happens in those relationships. And so we have to have a change in societal attitude about human trafficking, about prostitution, and about the value of children. Boomtown, or the oil fields of North Dakota, prostitution opens a lucrative field for pimps, who know those selling sex willingly will never meet the demand, and word of the oil field market is spreading fast through the pimp networks and in larger cities like Minneapolis and Milwaukee. In the bulletin, you will find a resource for worshiping communities. This is from the Blue Campaign from Homeland Security. What is human trafficking? It is a modern-day slavery and involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act or commercial sex involving a person under 18 years of age. Victims are found in all legitimate and illegitimate labor sectors, including agriculture, restaurants, hotels, domestic service, and sweatshops. Who is affected? There's no profile for victims of human trafficking. Anyone can be trafficked, regardless of sex, age, race, or nationality. Goes on to show how you can identify human trafficking, but I want you to particularly pay attention to the asterisk, because Homeland Security does not want you to be a hero. Do not undertake independent investigations. Remember to be discreet to ensure your safety and the safety of victims, and to contact a service provider or law enforcement as warranted. There's never been a greater need in history for churches to rise up and join the fight against slavery. Human trafficking is said to be the number two crime in the United States, and there are more slaves today than ever before in our history. You see these chains in front. Please help to break the chain of human trafficking link by link. Following the services, you will be invited to take a link that states, "Break the chains of human trafficking. I will pray, learn, or advocate." And included are three websites to begin your education.
Thank you, man. It's kind of weird. Human trafficking is what brought me to First Christian. It's kind of weird to say that. But,
right, that should be on a t-shirt.
I'll print them up. What I mean by that is about 3 years ago when I started coming here, this similar service was the second service that I came to here. And it was Associate Pastor Dan had mentioned, it was either Dan or Dennis, had mentioned or had talked about human trafficking. And this was right about the time that I started doing the work that I've done in human trafficking. And so that's what compelled me to come here. Now, most of you have come to know me in the past 3 years that I've been attending First Christian. But what some of you may not know is that in those 3 years, I've also been researching the prevalence and legal efforts to combat human trafficking around the world and in the United States. I've done public presentations, as Ann mentioned, and I've also spoken on the radio about this topic. And currently I work with sexually exploited youths in the Twin Cities. And that's what I'm here to discuss today, is the prevalence of human trafficking in Minnesota. Ann mentioned a few statistics, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about the statistics of global human trafficking and within the United States and in Minnesota. Second, I'm going to talk about why Minnesota is what I like to call a hotbed for human trafficking. A lot of people don't know it, but the FBI's rank, or has, a few years ago, the FBI did a study and found that Minnesota was in the top 13 states in the United States for human trafficking. And finally, I'm going to close by kind of presenting options as to what members of the church can do in an effort to combat human trafficking. I'm going to start. I like to characterize human trafficking as a shadow crime. It's often committed behind closed doors by a trafficker overpowering a disenfranchised individual. It is because of this nature that developing services and statistics as to who is a victim of human trafficking is really a complex task. But because of various efforts by federal agencies, there have been numerous statistics about human trafficking. Ann mentioned that around the world, 27 million individuals at any given time are victims of human trafficking. This is also a $32 billion a year industry. But most importantly, the number that shocks me the most is that the average age of entry into human trafficking is 12 years old. And that within the United States, in a given year, between 15,000 and 17,000 individuals are brought into the United States for labor trafficking and sexual exploitation. 50,000 individuals within the United States are trafficked each year. And once again, more shockingly, an estimated 100,000 children each year are sexually exploited, and 300,000 are susceptible to this exploitation. Now in Minnesota homes trafficking victims from all over the United States, but also all over the world. Victims come from the Philippines, Somalia, Russia, the Ukraine, India, and China. And once again, I said a few minutes ago that the FBI has ranked Minnesota within the top 13 states for human trafficking. When I tell this information to people, they often ask me, why Minnesota? We have an atmosphere of Minnesota friendly. They often ask me, is this a lack of knowledge or willful blindness to the problem? Or is it that people just think this kind of crime, this exploitation, can't happen in Minnesota, not close to my home where I don't see it? How can it be in Minnesota? I think all of these play a part in why trafficking is prevalent in Minnesota. But there are what I like to call the big five, five big reasons that are not very obvious that create a perfect storm in Minnesota to harbor sex trafficking or human trafficking in general. The first factor is Interstate 35. You may ask why I'm talking about a highway. When you think about it, Interstate 35 runs from the U.S.-Mexico border up to Duluth. It creates an efficient system to transport victims of sex trafficking all the way across the United States, and with Minnesota at its endpoint. The second factor is the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. This is also an efficient way to transport victims into the United States, but also brings a lot of business into Minnesota, creating a very strong demand for sex or for human trafficking in Minnesota. The third factor is that Minnesota homes several large sporting and entertainment venues and also several large convention centers. These are centers like the XL Center, Target Field, the new Viking Stadium. I know that the Twin Cities law enforcement agencies are already starting to train their officers for the, when is the Super Bowl, in 2017? 16? They're already taking this into consideration. These big attractions provide traffickers the opportunity to create or to sell trafficked individuals, and like the airport, they create a large demand by attracting individuals into Minnesota. Fourth, Ann mentioned malls. The Mall of America, the biggest mall in the United States, is not only an attraction for individuals from all over the world, but is also a good center to traffic people in the fact that there are many kiosks throughout the mall. And a lot of those kiosks, well, I shouldn't say a lot, law enforcement has found at these kiosks traffic individuals working long hours and for many days. And the Mall of America also provides a good recruiting grounds for human trafficking. Traffickers go to these malls or to the Mall of America to pick up and recruit young children to be trafficked. And finally, and the one that I've often found to be the least or the most surprising is the Duluth shipping port. Ann mentioned Christine Stark a few minutes ago, and I was at that same talk I presented there. The Duluth shipping port brings obviously a lot of ships into Minnesota, which not only bring trafficked people into Minnesota, but also provide a lot of demand for these trafficked individuals. Those people who work on these shipping vessels often are looking for a source of entertainment while they're in the shipping ports, and unfortunately, victims from Minnesota provide that entertainment. While these are not the only reasons that human trafficking is prevalent in Minnesota, I've come to learn that these factors, taken together, play a large part. After hearing these somber facts, you may ask yourself, what can I do to combat human trafficking, or what can First Christian do in that effort? There are plenty of organizations within Minnesota that provide volunteer opportunities to work with victims or for victims of human trafficking. Some of these are Breaking Free, the Family Partnership, and also the Minnesota Women's Foundation, who runs the Minnesota Girls Are Not for Sale campaign. Additionally, an important thing I think we can all do to combat human trafficking is to become more informed, more educated. Ann has provided a few resources from the Department of Homeland Security and their Blue campaign that provide training and general information on human trafficking. There are other resources such as the Polaris Project, which I know is I've seen on some of these chains, and also another resource is the organization Operation Shared Hope. These two provide education and resources to train private individuals and also companies when it comes to human trafficking. This. Okay. This knowledge might also give you a tool in the future to one day recognize victims of human trafficking and respond accordingly. Although, as Anne mentioned, I want to provide a disclaimer and say, don't be a hero. Approaching someone that you might think is a trafficked individual might not only put yourself in danger, but it might also put the trafficked individual in danger. And finally, the last and most important thing I know that we can all do, in fact, we could all do right now, is to pray for these individuals of human trafficking. Pray not only for the trafficked individuals, but also for the souls of those individuals who are so imprisoned that they find it appropriate to traffic innocent individuals. And with that, I have nothing more, and I ask Lori to come up.
Believe it or not, there are churches around the country who won't have a Speak Out Sunday, who won't bring up the information of what is happening in our world, because it's not a fun topic. It's not anything we really want to address, because we don't want to say that it even exists. But you have knowledge now. Thanks to Ann and James, you've been given excellent information. We have resources, and there are things that we do need to do. Don't know if that was a message, but sounds like many a hotel we stayed in, didn't it, Brian? Sorry, they were just people running, that's all. So why do we do this? You know, you may wonder, because anyone can go out and address sex trafficking, human trafficking. We do it because of the scripture that we've heard several times already this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you remember that text, you know that Jesus didn't fare too well when he read it, because the townspeople tried to run him out of town and throw him off a cliff after he read it, because he proclaimed that this good news is for all. It wasn't just for those that claim to be God's people. It was for all of God's people. God charges us with the responsibility to proclaim release to captives and to set free the oppressed. And this requires very hard questions about our lifestyle and the role of the church. Must we change our consumer habits to wipe out slavery? Do we need to change the culture of our churches so that we welcome all people into God's love? We say that we do, but especially those in need of it, like the young prostitute. Is there a ministry to be had there? The scripture makes it clear that freedom and release are only possible through the Spirit of the Lord. So I ask us, will we invite the Holy Spirit to work through us? If so, then we have a long road ahead of us, but one that is going to make life much easier and whole for so many people right here in the Twin Cities. If you will please join me in the litany of confession and hope that you found in your bulletin. O God, who cherishes freedom, God of freedom and mercy and hope, we know that you desire all people to be free.
We remember Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers. We remember the people of Israel, forced to labor in the land of Egypt.
We remember the men, women, and children of Africa, kidnapped and sold, forced from their homeland. We remember the cruelty of their journey to this country. We remember the shattering of their families.
Slavery, O God, does not exist only in the realm of memory. Today, human beings are bought and sold, trafficked within and across the boundaries of nations, including our own.
We know you hear the cries of enslaved people. We know you see them clearly. I know your sufferings, you said to Moses, and I have come down to deliver them. For we do not want to think of children taken from their homes, forced into labor or war making or sexual slavery. We do not want to think of families shattered, the lives of men and women destroyed.
We do not want to think of the unventilated rooms where
Oh, Lord, please send someone else, Moses begged you. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. We also beg.
But you are calling us.
You are calling us to remember that every person, every single person is made in your shining image.
You are calling us to remember that bodies are not commodities to be bought and sold, but holy mysteries reflecting your own glory, deserving of protection and care.
You are calling us to remember that even if even one member of the human family is enslaved, then none of us is free.
You are calling us to remember that all creation.
You are calling us to remember. You are calling us to refuse to turn our eyes away. You are calling us to see what you see, to hear what you hear.
You are calling us to act.
Amen. Amen.